Very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ and friends. Please turn your Bibles to Ezra chapter 7. In our church calendar for 2019, today is our Sunday school promotion Sunday. And therefore, I want to bring a message that is relevant to this special occasion which we have every year. And although the exhortation is directed to Sunday school teachers, it is applicable for every one of us here. And so I trust that though you may not be teaching in Sunday school, which you perhaps will someday, and I hope you will, that you will not think that it is not relevant for you, all right? So the message is relevant to all, but directed at, of course, those who teach and preach the Word of God. So Ezra chapter 7, and the title of our message is To Seek, To Do, To Teach. Incidentally, this is the motto of ERBS, Emmanuel Reformed Bible College. And they took this out of Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. And that is the outline of my message as well, because that is what the text says, that Ezra seek God's word, he endeavor to do and obey, and he plans to teach God's statutes and ordinances to his people. So before we look at our text today, from verses 1 to 10, I'd like to do a quick recap, because this message actually builds on the previous one, which is our church team. What is the church team for 2019? Will you say together with me? Reaching out with the... with the what? Truth. One more time. Reaching out with the truth. So this is the theme of our church for 2019. And the text we use for this year of our church theme is 1 Peter 3:15. I hope you have committed it to memory. But if you have not, let us do so this morning. The verse is up here on the slide, so let us read it twice, and then on the third time, we are going to do it without referring to the scripture. All right, we'll recite from memory. We'll say the reference, Bible reference first, read the verse, end with the Bible reference. That is one time. And then we repeat that, and then we recite by memory. All right, so let's read together 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Now, as we read, let us meditate on the words as well. All right? So it's not just a matter of trying to commit it to memory, but to also understand by meditating on it. Second time, ready, go. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 3:15. Good. Are we ready to recite from memory? Let's try, 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. 1 Peter 15. Very good. I think most of you could get the gist of it. So let us commit this to memory. We got one whole year, but don't wait until 31st of December to do it. Okay? Let's do it early in the year. By January, we should already have it here. Okay? And then every month we will review, once a month at least. And so that the Word of God will be a constant reminder to us with regards to our goal for 2019. Now, the question I asked in my message last week was, what must we do in order to be ready always to give an effective testimony of our Christian hope or faith? What must we do? And I mentioned, I suggested two things, very strong suggestions though. The first suggestion is to begin with an overview of the Bible, reading it through from Genesis to Revelation in a year or 2 years. You can use a Bible reading plan to help you with that. How many of you have started? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Okay, if you have not, don't raise your hand. Okay, all right, so not very motivating for me to see so few hands. As I have mentioned, you may have read through the Bible several times before, but I want to challenge you to read it again and again and again, all right? One of these days, we may not have the Bible in our hands. Your handphones will all be confiscated if there is great persecution. Where are you going to find God's Word in that situation? Hide it here. That's what the psalmist say, right? To hide God's Word in our heart. And if you are young, I challenge you to memorize not just verses, but a whole book of the Bible. Start with the shorter ones. All right? You say, is that possible? Yes. I've heard of evangelists when I was a young Christian who memorized the books of the Bible and long chapters, many of them. And you can test them. And he does it perfectly. All right, so it's possible if we put our heart into it, which is why this message, wholehearted commitment, all right, to God and the things of God. So I hope you will begin today. I've given you a Bible reading progress chart last week. If you have not got a copy, please take one. If there's not enough, I will ask Reverend Charles for more copy. It helps to track, all right? I'm doing it myself. I'm already in Genesis chapter 30-something. All right? So I hope you're tracking. I'm going to read the Bible through again in 1 year. And I hope you will also do it. If you can't do it in 1 year, in 2 years, or at your own pace, a chapter a day, and then that tracks your progress systematically. Secondly, I suggested that we commit to studying the Bible besides the reading. And it is reading without studying. Yeah? Just read through to get the storyline, okay? Don't stop to try to look up meaning of words and blah, blah. Just browse through the whole Bible, okay? That's the Bible reading. But you also need to supplement that with studying the Word of God. Your daily devotions is the basic, where you have a verse or short passage you meditate on, and then some of you would like to dig deeper, all right? So you can attend Sunday school class that study books of the Bible, and I think we have two adults class, one on Acts, the other on Luke. So these are digging deeper into the Word of God. Or you can join ERBL, Emmanuel Reformed Bible Lectures, for part-timers. They are night lectures. You can search Google. You will have the courses for this year, this semester, all right? Or even online courses, but I warned you last week, and I warn you again, online courses, make sure that they are sound courses, okay? So that is the quick review, and one last thing before we look at our text, and that, oh, I already mentioned. How many of you I asked already? And of course, I also want to challenge you, if you're not in any Sunday school class, please join one this year, or an NBC, all right? So may God help you, and to make this your goal for 2019. That is preparing yourself, equipping yourself to be ready, always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. All right, now let's look at Ezra chapter 7. Verse 1. Ezra 7, verse 1. Now after these things in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Seraiah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, and a whole long list of genealogy there. Now this verse connects the chapter with what directly precedes it, the first six chapters. And between chapter 6, the end of chapter 6 and the beginning of chapter 7, a 50-year interval lies between these two verses, all right? And verses 8 and 9 identify the time period more precisely, and that is in the 7th year of King Artaxerxes, or 458 B.C., Now, we know very little of Jewish life during this 50-year period. Very little, right? But what is important for our consideration this morning is this long list of ancestors that chapter 7 began with, the first five verses. The purpose of this genealogy is to introduce Ezra, right? So his family tree is given to introduce the person. Who is Ezra, you may ask? And so this long list of ancestors emphasizes not only his importance, but also identifies Ezra as a priest, a direct descendant of Aaron, the chief priest. So he belongs to the tribe of the priests. And his grand ancestor is Aaron. Who is Aaron? Whose brother? Moses. What's the name of his sister? Miriam. What's her mother's name? Bible quiz. What's her mother's name? You see, the more I ask, the less you know. I mean, less people know. So you see how we need to get an overview of the Bible? Jacobed, some of you may know. All right? So the list, first of all, emphasizes his importance. Secondly, it identifies him as the priest, belonging to the line of the priest, direct descendant of Aaron. So we learn more about Ezra in verse 6 when he's portrayed as a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. In verse 6, the word of God says, This Ezra, who's a direct descendant of Aaron, the chief priest, this Ezra went from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. So he's a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. What does that mean? Well, the term implies not only speed, skill in the sense of competence in speed, but also proficiency in the law of God as well. Now, some of us can do something very fast, but the result very bad, quality, boho, right? Because too fast. It's unusual to find people who can what? Do it quickly, and yet the quality is not sacrificed. And that's Ezra. All right, skill in scribe in the law of Moses. And the word scribe denotes one who is learned, a Torah scholar. We may call him a rabbi, which is a very respectable term in Israel in the days of Ezra as well as in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be called a rabbi. a learned Torah scholar. Now, some commentators also think that because Ezra is designated as an official in the Persian government in verse 6, that they thought that he may be a secretary of state for Jewish affairs in the Persian government. But we don't have enough information to confirm that. Okay? So, I think this is enough for us to know who Ezra is and the authority he has to do what God has sent him to do for Israel. Now, verse 6 also notes that the king granted him all his requests according to the good hand of the Lord his God upon him. What did he request the king? Well, if you search the chapter, you don't really see his requests. Unlike Nehemiah chapter 2, when Nehemiah went to talk to the king to apply for long leave so that he could go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he gave a list of things he need and asked from the king. All right, but here in Ezra, we don't see. But from verses 12 to 26, in the king's decree, you probably can surmise, all right, some of the things that he asked the king for. So the king says he wrote a decree. He told this group of people, when Ezra comes, he needs this, you give him. And then, of course, there are certain limits stated as well. Up to 100 of this thing and that thing. Salt, never mind. He can have it freely. Okay? Unlimited. So we don't really know his request. We can only guess from the king's decree. Without supplying all of the historical details, chapter 7 emphasizes God's hand of blessing upon Ezra. And this is mentioned 3 times and without doubt explains Ezra's success in his endeavor to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. All right? That is the reason he was successful. The good hand of the Lord was upon him. And this is what we need as a church. We need the favor of God, the good hand of the Lord to be upon us. Let us pray and let us be a people that God would open the windows of heaven and send his blessings down upon us as we embark on our massive renovation in 2020. There are many challenges we are going to face. The difficulty of finding a suitable place to relocate to. We want to cut costs as much as we can for all that we do. We need to work with the authorities to get the permission, approval. Many, many bodies, BCA, SCDF, LTA, and you name it, right? And whether we can do it in a year, we really have to pray that the good hand of the Lord may be upon us. By the way, I heard that Deacon William, besides needing help to support what he's doing with the contractors and so on in time to come, he needs prayer partners. 7:30 a.m. Saturday morning, if you can, come and join him for prayer at the church. All right, prayer. 7:30 a.m. If you can't, maybe you can synchronize prayer. All right? Wherever you are, pray with him for this big project. I believe he's entering into it with fear and trembling. All right? And we need to support him in prayer and also encourage him in whatever way we can. Now, verse 10 continues to explain. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. So the good hand of the Lord was upon him. That is the key to his success. And that is because Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. The Hebrew conjunction key may be translated because, and explains why God's hand rests upon Ezra. God blessed Ezra's ministry because Ezra prepared his heart. The phrase translated prepared his heart connotes a wholehearted commitment of oneself to something. Have you seen that happen to someone? Where they are so wholeheartedly committed to something. I have. Quite a few people who are wholeheartedly committed. And you can really see the result of their work because of that wholehearted commitment. On the other hand, I've also seen people who are half-heartedly committed to something. They can be very excited, enthusiastic, and zealous and want to begin something. But halfway through, dies out the zeal. Half-hearted commitment ends with a different result. Not Ezra. He committed himself wholeheartedly to doing what God has called him to do. Beloved, what has God called you to do? If you know and you are in the place where you're serving God as he has called you to do, make sure you follow Ezra and be wholeheartedly committed to do. Then you will receive and enjoy God's favor and blessing. Now, specifically, our text tells us that Ezra committed himself to three actions. Three actions, not just resolutions. A lot of us have resolutions, and as Pastor Lim preached on the 31st Watch Night service, resolutions, they say, are made to be broken. So he has stopped making resolutions. Right? So it's not resolutions, it is actions. What three actions? Let's look at them individually. First of all, to seek. Verse 10. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek. Seek what? The law of the Lord. The law of the Lord. And the verb to seek is a literal translation of the Hebrew verb that also means to study. Which reminds us of 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's turn to it while you put your finger here. That's the advantage of a printed copy of the Bible. You can put your finger there and flip to and fro. Digital cannot. You've got to go and find it back, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. If you have turned to 2 Timothy 2:15, let us read this verse together. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, this is not just skimping over the Bible. This word study means to dig into the word of God, so much so that you are able to expound, explain the scripture, rightly dividing the word of God, explaining it, expounding it, its truth to people. So that's what Ezra was doing. Seek the law of the Lord. And it implies an energetic effort to find God's truth as revealed in the law, the Mosaic Torah. And this requires time and discipline. That's why I say it has to begin with wholehearted commitment. What you are passionate about, you will make time to do. Isn't it? I see some people so passionate about playing golf and they get up 5 a.m. and 6 a.m. they are driving out to Johor Bahru already. They don't mind going to customs sometimes during school holiday and jam also never mind. Why? Passion. Passion. They make time. And you say, oh, but these are all retirees. Well, some retirees are busier, you know, than working people, right? I have spoken to a few retirees who are busier than when they were working. But there are working people who make time, even take leave, just to play. So it's the wholehearted commitment to something, to the law of the Lord. If you are wholeheartedly committed, you will not give excuse, I have no time. You will make time. So time and discipline are the two important qualities, all right, that accompanies a wholehearted commitment. Someone said human effort is inadequate but necessary. All right? And God will honor and supply grace as we cooperate with Him. So there's a divine element, there is the human element. Secondly, he sought not only the law of the Lord to study it, but to do. Ezra committed himself to do the law. So obedience followed the preparation of careful study. Some of you know this little chorus, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Did Ezra believe what he read? Yes. How did he demonstrate his belief? Obedience. So he wants to know what God says, but he is determined to, after knowing what God says, do what God says. And that echoes the words of James in 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. All right? And that verse divides believers, you know, into two groups. One group is those who hear only, one ear in, one ear out, bocho. The other group is they hear and like Ezra, they do. They seek to do, although they may fail. All right? And they may do it imperfectly. They really desire to obey. And that's Ezra. He was not satisfied with just a mere knowledge of the word of God, as I have mentioned, James 1:22. And thirdly, to teach. Do you know that the teaching comes after the first two things? When he has already studied and he knows the word of God well, and he has sought to obey and put into practice, then he begins to what? Teach the statutes. So he planned to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. And statutes refer to the general principles of the law, while ordinances refers to specific principles or command. In other words, taken together, this phrase means that Ezra planned to teach the whole law of Moses, all right, which is what he has at that time. How fortunate we are today and privileged to have the 66 books of the Bible. So he planned to teach the whole law. And this is another example for teachers and preachers to follow. You know why? Because some preachers and teachers, they have their hobby horses, so to speak, their favorite pet subjects. Yeah. I have a Filipino preacher who came and preached one time when I was pastoring the church before coming over to New Life. And he told me when I was eating a meal with him, Pastor Gunn, do you need to raise funds in your church? I specialize in fundraising. Should we invite him? He says in Philippines, people will call him to come preach when they need him to motivate the people to have to raise their building fund. And he claims he was very successful. After he preached, wow, people give money to the church. I don't know. One example, specializes in certain pet topics. All they preach about fundraising. Some they preach about, you know, other issues. You know, some about dressing. Some about this and about that. But not Ezra, neither Paul. Both of them, they want to teach the whole counsel of the Word of God. They want to give people a balanced meal, spiritual meal. Not just vegetables and always vegetables. Or fruits, always fruits. Or meat, always meat. A balanced meal, you see, for their spiritual nutrition. So, application. I'm not going to take too long with this message, but I think more importantly, it is how we apply and learn from Ezra. Do you want God to bless you, dear brothers and sisters? I'm sure None of us will say no, right? Of course, we all want God to bless us. And do you want God to bless your ministry? Whatever you are doing now for Him, it can be ushering, it can be PA, it can be Sunday school, it can be other matters. Do you want God to bless your ministry? And I'm sure we also say, yes, of course. If not, I'll be wasting my time, right? If God don't bless me and my ministry. And if so, then your next step is to follow the example of Ezra. Ezra, a faithful teacher himself, serves as a great example of what it means to be a sound Bible teacher today, because he set his heart to study the law of the Lord, to do it, to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. To be a successful teacher, parent at home, you have to follow this scriptural example. You must practice what you preach. If you demand something of others, of your children, and expect some things from them, make sure that you are doing it first. Don't say, oh, we're a Pastor Gunn preacher, we've got to be punctual in church, and then you yourself come late. Hello. What example are you setting? You see? So if you require something of others, make sure you require it of yourself first. That is the biblical principle, really, to follow. So whether we are pastors, elders, deacons, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders, or parents leading family devotion, this verse has much to tell us about teaching God's word to others. Be diligent to study, all right? Don't be superficial. Put in time and effort. Secondly, commit yourself to doing and obeying what you are going to teach your students or your children. And that is how we all, that is the model for all of us, if I may put it in short, all right? To study, to do before we impart the truth. So finally, the challenge. When we get to chapter 9 of Ezra, we shall see that Ezra brought about a reformation, a revival in Israel, because the people had backslidden previously. And what was the secret of this revival? It is not bringing a band into the church and play music that young people like. A lot of times we're pressurized in our churches, and because young people, you know, oh, we need to keep them, then we must, you know, appeal to them, we entertain them. That is not God's method. All right, that's not God's method. You may have the numbers, but you have very superficial commitment of the people. And we don't really know their relationship, the quality of their relationship with Christ. If you keep on entertaining, appealing to them. We must build them in the truth, reaching out with the truth. The people are backslidden, but God revived them because Ezra sought to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. So he could have never have done this without applying the word of God and exercising his authority. This is the key to revival, back to the Bible, not tradition, not human opinions, back to the Bible, sola scriptura. We must all get into the Word. In fact, the main theme of Ezra, the whole book of Ezra, is the physical and spiritual restoration for a remnant. That's the theme. And this is what we desire and seek to do in New Life by God's grace. The physical and spiritual restoration of New Life BP Church. Both together. The physical renovation of the premise in 2020, the spiritual renewal of the believers simultaneously. And the secret for us to succeed is the Word of God, getting into the Word of God. That's why in my first message, I challenge you, please gain a knowledge of Scripture, right? Do it again and again. Don't say, I've done it before. Yes, good. Do it again. If you have not, it's time to start. Your heart and my heart cannot be revived unless we have the Word of God entering in to convict us and to conduct us to Christ. Our church camp 2019 is becoming, our church camp team is becoming a healthy and vibrant church. Right? And I think if you came earlier for the corporate prayer, you have heard the Deacon Ivan grieving over some not so good condition in our church. We can call it backslidden condition. And we need a revival. And the Word of God must get into our hearts. I'll leave the camp announcement to those who are in charge. But do come and let God speak to you. Finally, the truth, God's Word, is a secret and key to success, as I've mentioned, and I emphasize it as I close. This is what God said to Joshua. When Joshua was about to launch into taking the land that God promised Israel, God said this to him. God gave him the secret to his success. And let us read this secret together as we close. Ready? Begin. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So you see, God says, this book of the law, God's method varies from man's method. God is doing the fighting for Israel. And if you look at a campaign of Israel in the book of Joshua, you will see that some of the tactics, military generals would probably laugh. One example is Jericho. Walk around the city. What kind of military strategy is that? You know? But God's method is not the same. God was in it. They only had to obey. Looks foolish. But when they obeyed, a miracle happened. The walls of Jerusalem broke loose on the seventh day, isn't it? So let us believe God and His promises given to us in His Word. And if you sanctify the Lord Christ in your hearts and throne Him as supreme over your life, I believe you will make time to become an effective witness for Him and reaching out to others with the truth. And that is why Peter begins with, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Is Christ first in your life? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, forgive us that we are so busy with many other things, even legitimate things, that we have neglected your Word. Many of us have a head knowledge of the importance of knowing your truth, and yet, in practice, we fail to take action, to be disciplined, to be committed to the reading and the studying of your Word. Lord, we pray this morning you use the example of Ezra to challenge all of us, not just pastors, elders, and Sunday school teachers, but every one of us, to get into the Word of God, the precious, life-giving, life-transforming power of the Word of God. Help us to make time, and help us, Lord, to truly set Christ, our Savior, supreme over all our relationship and pursuits. Please hear our prayer. Work in our hearts, Holy Spirit, and revive us individually and together as a church. We plead with thee in Jesus' name. Amen.